On this week's episode, I talk about my grandma. You heard me. I talk about the WWE and the arrival of Rowdy Ronda Rousey. I talk about music from the Black Rebel Motorcycle Club, Annie Lennox, Rush, The Tragically Hip, and Rufus Wainwright, all to various degrees. I talk about stuff I ordered, including a fun surprise that I found out about one thing that's winging its way to my house. And I close out by talking about darts. That's right, darts. It's a jam-packed episode in a little bit less time than usual. As always, I'm your host, Derek Brink, and you are listening to Empty Checking. Welcome to this week's episode of Empty Checking, the show that's still spitting fire, even though I'm a little bit tired. Hope everybody's having a good week. If you like the show, you can check out the accompanying blog at emptychecking.blogspot.com. There'll be photos and time indexes and extra good stuff there. The show itself is hosted at soundcloud.com/emptychecking. It's searchable on iTunes in the podcast thing. You just search Empty Checking with Derek Brink. We show up. I don't know how all that works. There's not a specific address that I can easily communicate to you here, but it'll be there too. If you're interested in me as a person or as an artist, whatever that means, you can check out derekbrink.com. If you like my music that you hear throughout the show, it's all my stuff, and it's all available for absolutely free at derekbrink.bandcamp.com, and you can get there from derekbrink.com too. Hope everybody's doing okay. How are you doing? I'll give you a minute to answer. Hey, that sounds great, or I'm sorry to hear that, whatever you said. You're the only one that heard you, or the other person sitting next to you in the room may have heard you too, if you're not alone. Me, I'm having an okay week. I'm a little bit tired. I haven't really been sleeping right. That's kind of a recurring thing for me. I don't sleep very well sometimes, and I seem to be in that cycle right now. I'll keep kind of working on something on my laptop and then look up and it's 2 a.m. and I've got work in the morning and, you know, that kind of thing. But also just kind of a personal situation going on that I'll talk a little bit about here, because I don't think there's I don't think there are any secrets between friends. My grandmother, who is 92 years old, had a stroke this week. Nothing wasn't fatal. She's actually doing pretty okay. She's been moved into a rehab situation. They're kind of, you know, building up her strength again. So it's a pretty good prognosis, all things considered. But it's, you know, 92-year-old woman has a stroke. It's you worry a little bit, and as you would. I mean, 92-year-old woman experiences a strong breeze. You worry a little bit. But she's doing okay. I saw her last night, and she kind of gave me the full rundown of how the stroke even happened, and it's really a fascinating kind of thing to hear, because I'll go ahead and share it here with you, because I think this is kind of incredible and says a lot about, you know, how tough my grandma is, because she may be 92, she may be up in years, but she'll stomp a mud hole in you and walk it dry if she has to. She woke up at 8 a.m. the day that this all happened. She woke up at 8 and just didn't feel right, and like she couldn't put much, if any, weight on her left leg, and had just kind of some numbness in her left arm, and it didn't immediately set into her that, well, this might be a stroke, because she's been arthritic for a while, and so she's kind of started going about her morning, and kind of just knew she didn't feel right, and was kind of just got out of her bedroom and walked into the kitchen and ate 2 chocolate donuts and drank a cup of coffee, because that's how you deal with a stroke. That's part of her routine. She just had breakfast and was sitting there thinking, boy, I don't feel right. I might have to call my son, who's my uncle. I might have to call my son and you know, I might need to see a doctor, but I'm going to do my Bible reading first. So she sat down and did her daily Bible reading, which is a big part of her life. And Got to the end of that and just... Ooh, I don't feel good, and I can't feel my left hand. It's just numb, and stuff just doesn't feel right, and I just hurt all over, and I better call my son. I better call him, but I'm gonna get dressed first. If I'm gonna have to go to a hospital, I can't go in my nightgown. I'm gonna get dressed first. So she goes into the bedroom and starts the process of getting dressed, and then realized that some article of clothing or another that she was going to wear wasn't clean. So she did a load of laundry, and got to the end of the load of laundry and kind of, okay, well, that's done. I gotta get dressed and get ready to maybe go to a hospital, and I'll call my son. And so she gets dressed, and it takes a long time because she really can't move the left side of her body at this point. And so she gets dressed, and it takes a while, and she gets all dressed up and kind of ready to go, and calls my uncle, who normally lives right next door to her, but just happened to be about a 20-minute drive away in this particular occasion. And she called him on his cell and just said, "Hey, where are you?" And he said, "I'm, you know, at such and such place. What's wrong?" And she said, I don't know. I don't feel right. There's just something wrong with me. I don't know what to do." And he said, "Well, I'll be there in 20 minutes. And he goes and, you know, drives over to her house, and he's there for a couple of minutes and realizes, yeah, we need to get you to a hospital. And they call an ambulance, and the ambulance takes her in, and they find out that she's had a stroke. When she got to the hospital, the left side of her face started drooping, as happens with most strokes, and lost a little bit of the ability to talk and that kind of thing. She talks, it takes some patience, but you can understand what she's saying right now, so that's good. But... all of that happened. Remember, I said she got out of bed at 8 in the morning. All of that happened. She didn't get to the hospital until somewhere after 11 o'clock, almost lunchtime. So she had gone more than 3 hours having a stroke and just kind of thinking, well, I don't know. I need to get dressed first, you know? So that's how tough my grandma is. She's, if this stroke knows what's good for it, it'll back down because she can take care of it. So, but she is 92 years old, so you do worry about her health. But she's doing far better than most people who are 92 and would have a stroke would be doing right now. And in fact, she when I went to visit, she had just finished walking down the hall and back as part of just seeing what she could do. One of the hospital staff took her up and down the hall. And I told her, well, that might be farther than I've walked today. So she's, it sounds like she's recovering very well. Relieved to know that. That's the only reason I'm talking about it. I've got happy news. Grandma is doing okay. So for those of you who like to keep tabs on my personal life, that's kind of the thing on my mind this week. But yeah, I've been a little bit tired, and not near as tired as my grandma. I went in to see grandma, and she was already exhausted, and then myself and other members of her family started showing up, which is even more exhausting, as you might imagine. So she's worn out and has every right to be. Me, I've just been staying up too late, so... I hope y'all are getting the right amount of sleep, I guess, is what I'm saying here. Don't have a ton to talk about. Haven't watched a lot, haven't listened to a lot. I've just kind of been into the regular routine. So now that I've told a personal story to kill a few minutes, which was the point of all of that, let's get into the regular show here. Let's talk about some stuff. My grandmother used to speak to me back when she still had her thoughts. Sometimes she'd sing to me from the 1930s charts. And Grandpa used to play for me songs on his old guitar. And now I've grown into a voice of my own and this worthless bleeding heart. Folks, it has been a huge week in wrestling. Many of you will know that the WWE, World Wrestling Entertainment, for those of you who have always wondered what that stands for, the WWE threw their annual Royal Rumble pay-per-view this weekend, and you would have to be living under a rock not to have heard what happened at the very end of it. Because at the very end of the show was invaded by former UFC juggernaut Ronda Rousey. Now, I don't regularly watch the UFC, but just hearing the buzz alone at the time, I made it a point to watch all of Ronda Rousey's matches. She's great, and I know that her last couple of matches were losses, and I don't understand why that effectively ends your career in the UFC. A couple of losses in a row and you're just done. I don't understand that. It doesn't make sense to me. It sounds like poor management and planning, frankly. But I've wondered before if maybe they don't kind of behave that way and don't kind of view their talent that way just to prove that it's not scripted like wrestling or something. I don't know. But anyway, I'm a Ronda Rousey fan. I like the determination she has. I like the energy that she brings to everything that she does. I like the fierce look in her eyes that she gets. I've been a Ronda Rousey fan pretty much since I heard of her as a competitor. And it doesn't hurt that she reminds me of a friend of mine it's kind of interesting because the friend of mine is like a mom of three and very much a house mom, but it's like, huh, if she just got really ripped, she would look like Ronda Rousey. And so I'm kind of pulling for her because she looks like a friend of mine. But I've been a Ronda Rousey fan for a while. She's a huge name. She's one of those names that just is, she's a household name, as they say. And she's in the WWE now because she's been a fan of wrestling for a very long time. And she's using the name Rowdy Ronda Rousey, which was bestowed on her by some friends. And she said, I don't know if I want to do that. There's, you know, Rowdy Roddy Piper and I like him and I don't want to, you know, I don't want to steal somebody's name and gimmick and stuff. And so she kind of asked them to back off on that. But then later met Piper while he was still living, of course, and kind of ran it by him, and Piper said, use it, go, use the Rowdy name, go, do it. And so she got the blessing of Rowdy Roddy Piper to use his name, and they became friends, and after he died, I believe she dedicated one of her wins to him, if memory serves correctly, and she showed up at the Royal Rumble after the final match of the evening, wearing a shirt that was in the kind of font of the old Hot Rod shirt that Roddy Piper used to wear, except it said Hot Ronda, which I kind of thought was cute. And she walked down to the ring in a black leather jacket, and just all eyes that watched the latter half of Roddy Piper's career recognized that jacket and just knew that, wait a minute, that's one of Roddy's. And it was confirmed later that Piper's son handed Ronda Rousey Piper's old jacket to wear to the ring. And that's really nice and that's really sweet. And it's cool to know that they were friends and cool to know that she's kind of carrying on that kind of legacy, I guess. And that excited me and that made me happy. And she walked down to the ring and pointed to the WrestleMania banner and she's going to be there. In what capacity, we're not sure exactly yet. There are a couple of rumors floating around the internet, but I don't work in rumors. I sometimes make guesses, but I don't work in rumors. So I'm not even going to guess at what she's doing. I'm just going to be excited to see it. The Royal Rumble itself was a heck of a good pay-per-view, by the way. I guess the biggest stuff to come out of it were the two Royal Rumble matches. You had the men's match, which was just wonderfully booked, just very engaging and exciting. And of course, the winner of the men's match was Shinsuke Nakamura. I'm a big Shinsuke Nakamura fan, so I was glad to see that happen. I was especially glad to see him win it instead of Roman Reigns, who we all assumed would be winning it. So that was really cool. I was happy to see Shinsuke take that, and happy to know that he's going to be in one of the main events at WrestleMania. That's just really cool, because I really dig Shinsuke, and it looks like they're finally kind of putting their eggs in his basket, and that's good to see, because he's such a great talent and such a great in-ring performer that it's just cool that he's getting that attention. And then you had the women's match, which closed the show, which was really cool, because the WWE has a great women's division right now. It's the best women's wrestling that they've ever had, and it's fantastic that they're giving it its due credit. So the women's match closed the show right before Rousey walked out. I guess technically Rousey closed the show, but the last match, the main event, was the Women's Royal Rumble, won by the fierce, frightening, wonderful Asuka. Asuka is fantastic. Nobody is prepared for Asuka or ready for Asuka. Whatever. I screwed it up. You know what I'm talking about if you're a if you're a wrestling fan. You know her catchphrase. Asuka's fantastic. Of course she was going to win this thing. The only other option was to surprise enter Rousey into it, and Rousey takes out everybody. But they needed Asuka to win. They've got so much invested in her, and they're making her an unstoppable character, and they needed her to win, and she did, and there was much rejoicing. So it was a good pay-per-view. The two kind of big matches of it were excellent and had the right people winning them, so it was pretty exciting. And cool to see all the returning talent as well, that especially in the women's match, to see some of the ladies walk into the ring that we haven't seen in a long time. Very nice to see Trish Stratus back in action, if only for one night. So that was a lot of fun. And the shows that followed on Monday and Tuesday, Raw and SmackDown, if you ask me, Raw was better than SmackDown. It seems like in the past couple of weeks to maybe months, Raw has really course-corrected to be a very strong show, and SmackDown is just kind of putting on episodes of SmackDown, and it's fine, but I feel like I'm back to feeling like I have to see Raw, and that SmackDown, if I see it, then I'm going to enjoy the wrestling. If I don't see it, then I didn't miss that much. I can read a recap, you know? But in general, both pretty good shows. Raw was a lot of fun. Always cool to see Braun Strowman tip over something. that seems to be the main part of the Raw writers' conversation that happens every week now is, all right, and what can he tip over this week? And so it was just kind of fun to see him tip over the announcing booth and stuff. And eagle-eyed viewers will notice that Raw got a little bit of a makeover, too. They're using a white background now instead of the traditional black that they've been using forever, so that's kind of an interesting, different look. The script is the same, though. The font of the Raw logo is the same, so kind of blink and you'd miss it, but it's a little bit brighter colors, and that's just kind of intriguing. And also we saw the return of Jonathan Coachman to the commentary team, and that's kind of interesting. He's been gone long enough that I don't remember how I felt about him at the time. I think I didn't like it when he was in matches, which he would do occasionally. But he's a talented guy. He's, of course, been doing legit sports journalism in the past couple of years, and he's really kind of honed his craft. And he's even if I didn't like him at the time, then I think I'm going to like him now, because he seems to be really tolerable and really he knows what he's talking about, and he's very professional in the booth. So it's nice to have the coach back. SmackDown, really the only thing I can think of that happened at all was the Owens and Zayn potential split, which could lead to some good matches and could lead to some good angles. But I watched SmackDown this week, but I feel a little bit like I missed something. I don't know why. It might have just been that I'm so kind of jazzed about Ronda Rousey being around, and Raw was such a strong show that maybe it just didn't click with me, because I'm so into the other half of the product right now. Although Rousey could be on any or every show, I have no idea. But I don't know. SmackDown was kind of a miss for me this week. It was fine. It moved things forward, but it seems like it just feels like they need to build towards something. And I guess what they're doing is they're building toward the match with Nakamura, the title match at WrestleMania, but they've got some time to kill before they get there. So I'm looking for SmackDown to get a little bit more energetic here in coming weeks, but this week I just wasn't quite into it, and I don't know that that's their fault. It might be mine. But that's kind of wrestling for the week. That's my thoughts on wrestling. I'm mostly just super excited about Ronda Rousey, because she's just fantastic, and it would be so easy to make her a heel. Yeah, all you have to do to make her the baddest, kind of meanest, most booed woman in the Federation is to have somebody say to her, well, your last two UFC matches were losses, and all she has to do is say, no, they weren't, and just deny that she ever lost anything, and it'd be perfect. She would be just a lying, conniving heel, and I hope they do that, because I think she'd play the role really well. But yeah, I'm excited about Rousey being around. It's so much fun for me to be excited by wrestling, and I'm glad I've got that right now. So I'm looking forward to what the upcoming weeks bring, and I'm looking forward to talking about it. But for now, we're done talking about it. Let's move on to something else. If it hurts. Let's talk about music a little bit. What do you say? Picked up some new music this week. I picked up a few things, but I'm really only going to talk about one of them. The rest of stuff I've kind of had lying around, actually, or that isn't here yet. I've got a couple of things on order or that I'm preparing for. This will all make sense as I actually talk about the thing rather than just look at my list and pontificate out loud. The new album that I'm particularly excited about is the new one by the Black Rebel Motorcycle Club, Wrong Creatures. BRMC is a cool band that I got into a few years ago because of my brother. He was playing one album or another of theirs, and I liked them. And the album that came out immediately after that was called Beat the Devil's Tattoo, and I bought it, and it was on my top 10 list for that year, and I've been kind of on board ever since. The new album, Wrong Creatures, is really strong. I really don't know how to describe this band. They're a rock band, but they're kind of shoegazy, and it's difficult to kind of put a single label on them. So let's just call them a rock band. They're a good, straightforward rock band, and that tends to be a little bit on the droney side here and there, and I dig that. That's kind of speaking my language there. And Wrong Creatures is a strong release. I like a bunch of the songs off of it. Favorites are probably King of Bones. I really like Haunt. I'm looking at the song list right now, by the way. This isn't just coming off the top of my head. Question of Faith is a good song. Calling Them All Away is a really good song. It's a strong release. I'll be honest with you, I probably liked the album that immediately preceded it a little bit more, which was called Spectre at the Feast. I felt like that album was probably their most focused album, and it's kind of a thematic release anyway, because it was written sort of informed by the death of Michael Bean, who had kind of traveled with the band and is the father of the lead vocalist, Robert Levon Bean. Michael Bean was a member of the band The Call in the 80s, which you may or may not have heard of them, I don't know. If you haven't, then you're missing out. Check out some Call stuff, too. And Spectre of the Feast had a great cover of Let the Day Begin, which was a song by The Call, and it was kind of cool to hear Robert do one of his dad's songs, and the band and the singer, obviously, who are still very much in mourning, missing Michael Bean, paid great tribute to him on Spectre at the Feast. And I probably like that album a little bit better, but Wrong Creatures is a very strong release. I like it a lot. It's way too early in the year to say whether or not it's headed to my top 10, but I really dig it, and I think most people who listen to this podcast probably would too. So check out The Black Rebel Motorcycle Club's Wrong Creatures. It's a great listen. That's really the main new thing that I've been listening to. I've got something on order, though, that I'm very excited about, because I did a number of weeks ago, I did an episode where I talked about my love of The Tragically Hip and wished, you know, a rest in peace to The Tragically Hip frontman Gord Downie. And I talked about Gord's solo album toward the end of last year that came out, that Introduce Yourself is the name of it, that had come out just slightly too late to make it onto the top 10 list, which, by the way, feels like a very serious omission at this point in the year, because I keep going back to that. But I'm a Tragically Hip fan, and those who've listened to previous episodes will know that Gord passed away after a battle with cancer, and the Tragically Hip had toured knowing that Gord had cancer, and he was basically just doing a farewell tour. And their very last show had been aired on Canadian television and on the internet and kind of broadcast for free, and was just a fantastic show. It was actually my jump-on point for the band. I hadn't been much of a fan until then, and it just felt important to watch that, and I watched it and loved it and dug in deep to the Hip. There has been a DVD and Blu-ray release of that show that I didn't know about. I have a little bit of extra cash, and I was kind of just going to Amazon and just checking out, let's look at a couple of bands that I like that I don't quite have the full discography and see if there's anything that I can flesh out a little. And I just typed in The Tragically Hip, and that show just popped up right in front of me on DVD and Blu-ray, and I just got so excited and ordered the Blu-ray, and that's right now sitting in an Amazon warehouse working its way toward me. It's got my name on it, and I'm so looking forward to seeing that again and watching that. And I'm looking forward to it, but I also know it's going to make me a little sad knowing that Gord has now passed on, but it was such a good show, and I'm looking forward to experiencing that and seeing it on my big screen television rather than on my tiny screen laptop and a streaming player. That was how I watched it at the time. That's going to be a lot of fun, so I'm looking forward to that quite a bit, and I'm sure I'll talk about that more after I've gotten it. Other stuff, my current listening has been kind of a weird mix. I've been listening to some Rush. By the way, there is probably a full episode on Rush to come in the future. I could talk about Rush all day. I love Rush a lot, and I just kind of got on a little bit of a kick because I watched the guys from Lost in Vegas on YouTube listen to YYZ for the first time, and they were super into it. And I kind of got charged up by that and just thought, yeah, YYZ is a great song, and I'm glad those guys like it. Check out Lost in Vegas on YouTube, by the way. They're a lot of fun. They're a couple of guys who listen to music that they're not traditionally familiar with and not traditionally interested in, largely based on fan suggestions, and they just kind of experience it for the first time and talk about it and talk about what appeals to them and whether or not they like it. And they loved YYZ, so that just kind of made me happy and got me excited. So I started listening to some Rush this week, and it's been a lot of fun. And like I said, I'm sure there's a full episode about Rush coming up in your future, so I'm not going to say too much more here. I've just been listening to some Rush, just a mix I made. I've also been listening to Annie Lennox lately, just kind of randomly. I think because I did the Bowie episode a few weeks back, and I got to thinking about her doing Under Pressure with Bowie, so I've been listening to Annie Lennox. Really only have a Greatest Hits compilation for Annie Lennox, but what a playlist. I like it a lot, and it's been kind of nice. She's got one of those really strong, powerful voices that just cuts right into your heart, and I've been very much enjoying driving around listening to Annie Lennox and sitting around working on other things listening to Annie Lennox. So that's been my current listening, has been Rush and Annie Lennox. So that's kind of two ends of the spectrum. I don't know what that says, but I've been enjoying both of those lately. The only other music thing I can think of to talk about is that next month in February, on the 16th, the Friday after Valentine's Day, Rufus Wainwright is going to be in St. Louis at the Powell Symphony Hall, and I'm going to that. I haven't bought my ticket yet, but I'm going to that, and because I love Rufus Wainwright, I got into his music several years ago, and what a voice, and what a piano player, and what a songwriter. And so I want to go see Rufus. I don't know if I have any friends that are into Rufus, though, so I'm looking for someone to go with. So if you're listening to this and you think, wow, I would love to see Rufus Wainwright with Derek, just hit me up. Let's go to Rufus Wainwright together, because it'd be nice to have someone to go to that with and someone to sit next to. I really love Rufus Wainwright, but all music is better when it's shared. So with it being the Friday after Valentine's Day, if it'll sweeten the deal, I'll let you get to at least second base, if you want to. No guarantees beyond that, but at least second base. So, I'm kind of getting excited that Rufus is coming to town, too. So it's kind of a weird musical week for me. Black Rebel Motorcycle Club, The Tragically Hip, Annie Lennox, Rush, Rufus Wainwright. Who am I? My tastes have always been all over the place, but it feels like this week I'm kind of going out of my way to prove it. So that's where we are for this week in music. Hung out and hung out. I mentioned that I've got the Tragically Hip Blu-ray on order, and it's working its way to my house. I've actually got a number of things on order right now, because there are just some things I've ordered, and sometimes a little bit in the past, or stuff that I've been meaning to order that I just finally did, and there's plenty of stuff just working its way toward my house right now. Some of it I'm more excited about than other things. In fact, one of those things I'm very frustrated about, which is a shame because it's something that I should love, that I think I'm going to love once they actually get their act together. But I've never really been a Loot Crate guy. I for a while was subscribing to the Pro Wrestling Loot box, which is not by Loot Crate. It's actually its own company, Pro Wrestling Loot. It's the same concept as Loot Crate, but it's all wrestling stuff. And I got some cool stuff in that, but I stopped subscribing to that several months ago because I found out that there's a Star Trek crate that's actually being done by Loot Crate, and that sounded like a really good situation, because I love Star Trek. Anybody who talks to me for any amount of time will figure that out. I'm kind of a geek or a dork that way. I love Star Trek a lot, and Loot Crate is known for being great at what they do, so I thought, wow, that's a great match, and I signed up for the Star Trek Mission Crate. And I signed up for that back in October. And I knew that it was a pre-order, but I thought it was a misunderstanding on my part. I thought it was coming in November, that they were going to send them out in November. But it turned out it was actually scheduled for December. Okay, no harm, no foul. That was my misunderstanding, so whatever. I was prepared to wait for December. And then December comes around, and those of us who are subscribers get an email that says, hey, we don't have it ready yet. Sorry, we're going to send you a placeholder crate with some Star Trek stuff, basically that we had lying around, and you'll get some kind of online thing that you can sign up for or whatever that is extra content of some kind. I don't remember what it was. Whatever it was didn't interest me. I don't remember if it was something to do with their online RPG or if it was an online comic book or something like that. I don't remember what it was. Whatever it was, I thought, I don't need that. But they did send, to their credit, they did send a small box with a couple of things in it. There was a pen that was the Live Long and Prosper sign from Spock, which is on my coat. I liked that a lot. I thought that was pretty cool. There was a comic book that I basically enjoyed reading, but I'm never going to pick up another issue unless they keep putting them in the box, you know, so whatever. It was okay, but I don't, you know, I stopped reading comic books for a reason. But it was fine. It was a good inclusion, and really the only other thing in the box that spoke to me was there was a pair of Star Trek socks, which is just black socks and different kind of versions of the Enterprise on it and stitched in. And I thought that was silly, but I've worn them and I've showed them to other people, so I dug the Star Trek socks too. So to their credit, they did send that toward the end of December. I think I got it either right before or right after Christmas. It was really tight. It was in that week. I don't remember exactly when. But I did get that, so I shouldn't be too upset. But, you know, they just kind of said, hey, we're not ready. There's some, we want to make this the best we can, and it's not there yet. So we're sending a placeholder. It'll go, the actual crate will go out in January. Okay, that's a little disappointing. But they did send the placeholder box and did whatever they did with the online content that, like I said, I didn't have any interest in, I didn't sign up for or log into or whatever. They did do that, so they at least did something. And then January comes around and we get an email from the Mission Crate people and they say, hey, the crates should be in the mail by the end of January. And then yesterday, I get an email from them that's like, important Mission Crate update. And I went, oh, cool, it shipped. And I clicked on the email. They're like, yeah, it's not ready. And we're not going to have it shipped out until the end of February. And folks, at this point, I've heard that song and dance before. And I'm a little bit frustrated by it because this is the thing I'm excited about. I've been excited about since October. And it's going to be at least the end of February, if they keep their word this time. So I tweeted out to the Loot Crate people that hashtag Star Trek, hashtag Mission Crate has been delayed again. Hey, hashtag Loot Crate, I'm having trouble deciding, should I hashtag the word refund or the word ripoff? Because that's kind of how I feel at this point. Yes, they sent a placeholder full of stuff they had sitting around, but Give me the thing that I ordered, the thing that I was promised, the thing that you should have had ready before you even put out the notice that you were going to be doing this. My guess is that they just don't have enough subscribers yet, and they're probably losing them because they can't get their act together. And if this is what Loot Crate is, I'm going to get my first mission box, and then I'm going to go back to Pro Wrestling Loot, who manages to deliver on time, and they're a much smaller company. So, one of the few times I've reviewed something on the show that I've been frustrated with, Loot Crate, you're really letting me down. I'm very disappointed in you, and I didn't expect to feel that way about a company that's so highly esteemed. So, I would love to get the thing I ordered, but I just haven't. I appreciate the pen and the socks, though, I guess. Let's move on from there. I've got some other stuff on order that I'm looking forward to receiving that I know I actually will receive. A couple of those things tie into pro wrestling a little bit. One of them is a t-shirt that I ordered that is... they're both podcast related, but wrestling podcast related. This is a little hard to explain. I've been listening to Tony Schiavone and Conrad Thompson on What Happened When for about a year now. It's a great show, it's a fun show, and they put up t-shirts that are kind of related to the show, there's things that they've said or concepts they've talked about or whatever, and I've bought one in the past, and it's cool, and I wear it a lot, but I bought another one because I saw it on the site, and I couldn't resist, because the whole thing about this, the whole time that they've been doing the podcast, Tony Schiavone's been talking about how the t-shirt sales are essentially going to pay for his kid's wedding. Because they're throwing a wedding, and so these shirt sales are really helping them out with the wedding and stuff, and that's all true. That's, you know, that's legit. They're actually using this to help fund the wedding and whatnot, and they're going to keep going after the wedding, they've said, so that's good news. But right now we're helping marry off one of his kids, so that's so it's kind of a pleasure to help out with that and have a very small role in someone else's happiness in that way. But they put out a new t-shirt on the What Happened When Pro Wrestling Tees site that is just a black shirt in gold writing that is just for the Schiavone wedding 2018. And I thought that was really funny. So I ordered one of those, and I'm going to look forward to wearing that with pride, knowing that I've given them a little bit of money for that. And the cool thing about the What Happened When stuff is when you order a shirt, Tony Schiavone gives you a phone call in a couple of weeks. He's a little bit behind from what I understand. But he picks up the phone and he calls you and he says thanks. And that's really cool. And actually the other podcast that Conrad Thompson hosts with Bruce Pritchard does the same thing. So that's just a really cool thing. And I'll be honest with you, the first t-shirt I ordered, I mainly ordered because I wanted the phone call from Tony Schiavone. But the shirt that I'm getting now, I ordered because I just think it's cool to kind of be in on that. And I like the shirt, and I think it's funny. And I like supporting these guys because they're doing something that I really enjoy. So that's one of the shirts I've got on the way. The other shirt, also from Pro Wrestling Tees, is actually tied into the podcast Going in Raw, or with Steven Larson. They've got kind of a long backstory, and they've been with Machinima in the past, but now they're basically doing YouTube, Patreon stuff, and Going in Raw is the name of the show. They regularly refer to their fans as friendos, and there's a t-shirt out there that's friendos and just kind of promotes the show, and it's sort of an old style looking shirt. I'm talking about it long before I can post a picture of it, so you're not going to see it on the blog this week, but I like the design of the shirt, and it's supporting guys who are smaller time than Tony Schiavone, with no offense to them. So I'm kind of glad to be putting some money into the pockets of guys who put out a product that I really like, that are probably grateful for their support. And I've got a shirt on the way from Steven Larson too, the Going in Raw show, and I'm excited about that. I'm excited to wear both of those around and have to explain them to everyone I meet. That's my favorite kind of stuff, is the stuff I have to explain to everybody. Gee, Derek, you're kidding. You have a podcast and you like to explain weird stuff to people? Yeah, really, that's who I am. So I'm looking forward to getting both of those. I'm looking forward to the Star Trek Mission Crate eventually. But I've got one more thing on order that I feel like I have to talk about. And this may get a little bit grown up of a story. So those of you with small kids in the room, maybe put in your earphones for this, because this gets a little bit, I'm not sure if this is off color or not. I'm not sure, but there may be things you don't want to explain to your kids. So I'll give you a second to put in your earbuds. I'm not going to swear, but I am going to talk about something that you might not want to explain to like a five-year-old. So here's your break. To get in your earbuds or to put it on pause and find your earbuds or what have you. I hope you're just about there right now. I'm going to take a sip of my Dr. Pepper and then we're going to get into this story. Okay, I have sciatica, which is a back problem. It's pain in the lower kind of quadrant of the back. Mine happens to be particularly bad on the lower right. And it's from just above the waistline down into the hip, and sometimes down even as far as my knee. That's what sciatica kind of does. And I've had it for a while, and it comes and goes. Sometimes it's bad, sometimes it's not so bad. Lately, it's been pretty bad, and it's been irritating. It's been hard to kind of stand up and sit down sometimes, and it just hurts. And so I'm the type of guy that tries to find remedies for stuff like that. I look into, well, what's worked for my back in the past, and you know, what can I do now? What new stuff is out there? And like when it's particularly bad, I'll sleep with a little back pillow kind of under my back, and just for a little bit more support, and kind of get my spine realigned a little bit, and that kind of thing. And I've done different like massagers that you put in a chair and that kind of thing. Recently, the sort of chair back massager that I've been using shorted out on me, so I've been in the market for a new one. So I go to Amazon and I'm thinking, maybe I'll try something a little different. Maybe I'll try something that's a little bit more, I can position a little bit more. It doesn't have to be in a flat back chair, etc., etc., etc. So I just typed in back massager into Amazon, and I kind of got a bunch of options. And one of the first options I saw, I thought, oh, that looks pretty good. I think I can work with that. That looks like I can sort of target where the pain is and just kind of keep it there. And that looks like a pretty good massager. So you know how your Amazon ads kind of change after you make a purchase? You'll like see like the ad space on Facebook changes to different things related to what you just looked at or what you just purchased. We all have that experience, I think, from time to time. That happened. But it didn't start showing me other massagers. It started showing me things that I could attach to the massager I bought for sex reasons. I don't know how to explain this delicately, but basically, you put a thing on top of the deal that I bought and you can enjoy it erotically. Mainly for women, although I'm sure there are some men who could make use of it as well. I am not so motivated. I've got sciatica. And like now that I've seen these attachments, I go, oh, yeah, of course. How did I not see that? Of course it's meant for that. But I had no idea. I thought I was buying a back massager. But yeah, basically I bought a vibrator. By accident. I accidentally bought a vibrator this week, folks, and once I figured that out, I was kind of just stunned and just thought, well, there goes the weekend, I guess, because the only thing I can think about it is that I know what purpose I bought it for. I'm interested to see if I start getting intriguing catalogs in the mail moving forward, I'll tell you that much. I guess if it can be used for sexual pleasure, gotta be good for sciatica too, right? Because that's what I plan on using it for. I don't plan on ordering any of the attachments, but it's nice to know that they're out there. In a couple of weeks after it's shown up and I've used it, I'll let you know if I can recommend anything for anybody. But yeah, that's the story of how I accidentally bought my first vibrator. Hope you enjoyed that. We'll be back after the break. I'm not okay, but I'll get okay. I'm not okay, but I'll get there. I'm not okay, but I'll get okay. not a lot to say here in the outro. Thanks a lot for listening. It's always great to have an audience. We're coming in a little bit short this week, which I'm sure is a relief to some of you. But to some of the rest of you, you're wondering where your extra 15 minutes are, and I'm sorry. I don't have those for you. Hug your family with those 15 minutes or something this week. Read part of a book, cook part of a dinner, do something worth it with those 15 minutes, because I do not have them for you this week. I'm sorry, I kind of barreled through this one. The only other thing I can think of to talk about, really, is that my dad and I recently finished watching darts, which the kind of the world darts competition thing that featured the retirement of the one and only Phil Taylor. We both like darts. I didn't know I liked darts until one day I'm over at my dad's place and we're watching TV together and he's kind of flipping around and he sees the darts are on and he says, "We're going to watch darts." Because my dad actually used to play darts, by the way. So he said, "We're going to watch darts." And I was kind of, all right, I guess I can watch darts. You know, whatever, it's your TV. And he put it on, and I expected to just kind of slog through it and just sort of not pay much attention and look at my phone. And after about 2 minutes, I was just like, well, I mean, he's got to go for treble 16, right? And he's just super engaged, because darts is addictive, and it's crazy, and the audiences are rambunctious, and it's incredible. Watch yourself some British darts at some point if you ever get the opportunity. It's a good time. It's some of the most fun you'll have watching a sport. And it's a sport that is played by guys who look like they play darts. So that's a lot of fun. And yeah, we watched the retirement of one of the dart world's greats in Phil Taylor. So it's kind of weird that to see him moving on. But there are a lot of personalities I'm going to enjoy following for years that are still playing and that have just recently started playing. So that's really the only other thing I can think of is we watched darts, which actually that particular match aired on New Year's Day, but we both were behind, so we had to catch up, and we caught up we are, and Phil Taylor, of course, took the loss in that particular match. Sorry, spoilers to anybody. We're 23 episodes in. I'm finally starting spoiler alerts. Phil Taylor took the loss to end his career, but the other guy just played better, man. And it's sad to see Phil go, but I'm looking forward to many more years of watching crazy darts matches and hopefully watching most of them with my dad, because it's kind of, we enjoy playing off of each other, I think, watching and enjoying the same sport for once when I normally don't watch any sports at all except for wrestling. But not a lot else to say in the outro. Not a lot to say in the dart row. I hope everybody's having a good week. I hope this show added a little bit to it. I thank you so much for your time and for your interest and for your support. If you like the show, tell a friend. If you hate it, tell an enemy. And either way, check us out next time. Bye. By the way, my vibrator is wireless and rechargeable.